Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. On this Martin Luther King Day, we celebrate the man who brought the philosophy of nonviolent protest to a broad public. It seemed us a good time to update you on the story of Elizabeth McAllister, who has devoted her life to the cause of nonviolence. Elizabeth McAllister is a former nun who was married to Philip Berrigan, a former priest. He was a member of the Catonsville Nine, activists who burned draft files in the parking lot of the Catonsville Draft Board in 1968. They served time in prison, and they inspired a number of other anti-draft and anti-war protests in the 1960s and 70s. Philip's brother was the activist and poet Daniel Berrigan. Philip Berrigan died in 2002. Daniel Berrigan passed away at the age of 94 in 2016. In 1973, Philip Berrigan and Elizabeth McAllister founded Jonah House, a faith-based community of peace activists dedicated to nonviolent resistance. It is located in West Baltimore. Currently, there are 5 people living there. The activism of the Catonsville Nine in the 1960s evolved over time to what have come to be known as plowshares actions, inspired by the biblical passage from the prophet Isaiah, which says they will beat their swords into plowshares. Beginning in the 1980s, activists in the United States and elsewhere have concentrated their efforts on protesting nuclear weapons. On April 4, 2018, the 50th anniversary of Dr. King's assassination, Elizabeth McAllister and 6 other protesters cut fences and entered the Kings Bay Naval Base in southeast Georgia to protest the United States' nuclear weapons arsenal. Kings Bay is presumed to be home to several Trident nuclear submarines. The protesters were arrested, and they are awaiting trial in federal district court in Georgia. 4 of the protesters accepted terms of release before trial that allowed them to return to their homes. They are required to wear ankle bracelets, and their travel is restricted. Elizabeth McAllister and 2 others, Father Steve Kelly, a Jesuit priest from the West Coast province, and Mark Colville, a Catholic worker from New Haven, Connecticut, chose to await trial in the Glynn County Detention Center in Brunswick, Georgia. On January 9th, I spoke with Elizabeth McAllister from that jail. She was able to call me, but the time of phone calls from the jail is limited by jail authorities. And as you'll hear, our phone connection wasn't great. Here's that conversation. So, Liz McAllister, let's start by asking you to explain what you and the other members of this Plowshares Actions group did last April in 2018.
We entered the Kingsbury Naval Weapons Station here in Georgia, and not far from where I am right now. And we entered in the early evening. We did have to cut some locks in order to gain access. And we walked some substantial distance. It's a vast complex. And we began all together. And at a certain point, we divided. I was with Steve Kelly, a Jesuit priest in the group, and with Carmen Prada from the New York Catholic Worker. The 3 of us headed toward the area where the bunkers are, and that's where the nuclear weapons are stored. 2 others, Carmen and Mark, headed toward the monument. It goes by different names, but it's a place where all of the missiles used on the Trident submarines in sequence are laid up and honored and celebrated. And the other 2 women, Claire Grady and Martha Hennessy, headed toward the administration building and brought a copy of Dan Ellsberg's book on the weapons, nuclear weapons, and left the book there. They left messages there. And used the symbol of blood. It was also used at the monument. Now, we waited some time in order to try to get a sense of coordinating so that nobody would react being ahead of anybody else. Our witness at the bunkers was fairly simple because we did run into security guards who held us at gunpoint rather rapidly and tried to get information from us as to whether others were on the base or not, which we, of course, would not communicate. And we just spoke about why we were there and why it was necessary that we were there and how dangerous these weapons were. We had learned not long before the action that with the submarines that are home-based there at Kings Bay, those submarines carry enough firepower to destroy everything on the surf. And that's a rather overwhelming piece of information. So we tried to engage them on that level, and of course they would not engage us on that level. And in due order, we were cuffed and placed under arrest.
And you have been awaiting trial in prison ever since then, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
There have been more than 100 Plowshares actions that have taken place in the U.S. and elsewhere since the 1980s. Have you been involved with any of them prior to this one?
I've only been involved in one other Plowshares witness, and that was the Griffiths Air Force Base witness back in Thanksgiving Day 1983, where we hammered on a B-52 bomber and engines connected with that B-52 bomber.
Okay.
We were tried in Syracuse, New York, in a federal court, and had a strong kind of witness at trial. Interestingly, we did a pretrial motion for dismissal based on freedom of religion, which is what we are now arguing in this case as well. But the judge listened to that very nicely and said, well, the government never intended to set up a religion in its rulings on nuclear weapons. And we shook our heads and said, well, okay, we didn't know where to go from there. We just went to trial from there. But we were convicted of destruction of government property and conspiracy and trespass. And I served 3 years in prison, served a three-year sentence.
I understand that you celebrated your 79th birthday in November of 2018. Is that right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. I celebrated it here.
Yeah, at the Glynn County Detention Center in Brunswick, Georgia. Why, at age 79, with a long life of commitment to nonviolence and the peace movement, there are those who would say, you know, at your age, you get a pass. You're able to take it easy and enjoy your grandchildren and enjoy the fruits of your labor, such as it is. Mm-hmm. Why this action at this place, at this point in your life?
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that I thought about at this time, and of course I had the model of my husband and brother-in-law and so many others before me, that why not? You know, I'm probably freer to do it than many. Yes, I have grandchildren I'd love to spend time with, but it's not as if they need me to spend that time with them. You know, it's wonderful and I loved it and I hope to have some more of it again sometime, but it's on their behalf and on behalf of the children of the world that I think I and others want to make these statements and make this witness. I have the freedom to do it, Tom, and actually have the time to do it as well. So I'm here.
And the other decision you made was to be there. Seven of you were apprehended and are awaiting trial, but only three of you chose to stay in the prison. The other four were released on home detention. They're wearing an ankle bracelet. And you had that option. You and Father Steve Kelly and Mark Colville had that option. But you three have decided to stay in the Glynn County Detention Center. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, I find the conditions of release outrageous. And it's like bringing jail home. And I just cannot cooperate with that. In my understanding, we're going to be looking at time and why not start doing it. But basically, I just find the conditions incredibly outrageous, and all who are out under those circumstances. But they are all having difficulties with it because it is so repressive, and I can't abide by them. I wouldn't.
While you have been in prison, what have you been doing? I understand that you've been involved in some prison ministry. You wrote in your affidavit, which was filed as part of this case in the United States District Court in the Southern District of Georgia, that you felt compelled to be alive to the suffering of other people. Are you, you and the others who are there, working in any prison ministry capacity?
Well, I think just trying to be here and to be, you know, an ear and a heart and a caring sister to the other women here, many of whom are dealing with an awful lot in family and in their court, to try to be human and decent and loving with them is what it's all about.
You have taken this as your life's work, and you mentioned your husband, your brother-in-law, Philip and Daniel Berrigan.
And others in the Jonah House community throughout over the years, and it's been part and parcel of what we have been about in terms of direct action, Pentagon, White House, so forth and so on.
I wonder, do you feel more urgency about this work now as opposed to 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago? Is there a difference between the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, the Obama administration, or the Trump administration?
Tom, I mean, look at who's sitting in the White House. I think that it's the most dangerous time I've ever seen. It is utterly and completely self-absorbed and unpredictable, and the future is up for grabs, and that's the future of this earth and the future of these kids and all of us.
When you were tried in Syracuse back in the 1980s, you were able to put a lot of things in the public record, in the record of the court, about your feelings about nonviolence and the reasons you took the actions. What do you hope to accomplish at this trial, which right now has not yet been scheduled, but people are assuming it will begin sometime in the spring?
Well, I would say some of the same thing, that I also think that we will be trying to underscore the urgency of now and the fact that the destructive power of these weapons now is a multiple factor beyond my ability to calculate. But when we have to say that they have at King's Bay the power to destroy everything on Earth, that's not where we were back in 1983 to 1984, but it's where we are now. And that in the hands of people like Donald Trump is terrifying. And it's very, very real. It's very real.
Elizabeth McAllister. She is currently incarcerated at the Glynn County Detention Center in Brunswick, Georgia. We spoke earlier this month. On April 4th, 2018, the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination, Elizabeth McAllister and six others entered the Kings Bay Naval Station in Camden County, Georgia, to protest the United States nuclear weapons arsenal. They call their protest a plowshares action, inspired by the passage from the prophet Isaiah that says, "They will beat their swords into plowshares." They are awaiting trial in federal district court in Georgia. They are charged with three felonies and one misdemeanor, including trespassing and conspiracy to damage government property. They face a maximum of 20 years in prison. A trial date has not yet been set. As we've done since last summer, we will keep in touch with Elizabeth McAllister as her case makes its way through the legal process. I'm Tom Hall, and you're listening to Midday on this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Coming up after a quick break, a young middle school student shares her dreams as she embraces the legacy of MLK. Charlie Martin is the second annual Dream Big Essay Awards contest winner. We'll meet her and hear her winning essay after a break. Stay with us.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.